Morning, everybody. It's nice to be with you, and thank you for having me. Sue is not with me today because we've been away from Newbury only last Sunday, so she thought she'd go to Newbury today. I have to say, the choice of reading today, I mean, what an amazing story from Ezekiel, wasn't it? To be told your wife is going to die in that evening. Goodness. It's almost as extraordinary as the story I'd like to share with you this morning about the man who missed his cross. This man was convicted and he was condemned to die. He'd been imprisoned in a large fortress in Antonia in Jerusalem, and he could hear the angry crowd shouting his name. And the next thing he hears chills him to the bone. Crucify him. And so he pictures his own horrifying death by crucifixion, the torture, the walk to the place of the skull, the hammering of the nails into the flesh. And hopefully, as he sat there, he thought death would come soon. But for this man, life did not end on a cross. Who was he? What had he done? More importantly, what happened to him? And hopefully we can find an exhortation in this. If you'd like to have a look at Matthew, with just the an introduction, really, in Luke, but we're going to take up the story following Matthew's record, Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, all of the Gospels have something different to add to the story, so we'll jump from each one as we go through. So Matthew 27, verse 15. Verse 15. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. And so Pilate was in a huge dilemma here. His career depended on what he decided that morning, because he knew that the Jewish leaders had trumped up the charges. But Pilate, being the governor in charge of Jerusalem and Judea, was afraid of a riot. He was the only judge that was convinced that Jesus was innocent, and he found it therefore difficult to condemn him. We're not told of Barabbas's given name, only his received name. Remember the story of Bartimaeus? We know that that means the son of Timaeus. Presumably, Timaeus was a well-known person to the writers of the gospel. We think of Peter, who was Simon Bar-Jonah, the son of John. And here we have a man simply known as Barabbas, the son of a father. Nothing more. Son of a father. And yet he was a murderer. He was a notorious and hardened killer. And he was public enemy number one. This is the man. Son of a father. Verse 19. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, Pilate's wife sent to him, saying, "Have nothing to do with that just man," meaning Jesus, "for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" And they all said to him, "Let him be crucified." Note how Pilate refers to Jesus, who is called the Christ. And of course, Jesus was Son of the Father. So we have two men here, Son of a Father and Son of the Father. Surely, thought Pilate, the mob would rather have the Jesus who claimed to be their Messiah, not the man who was a terrorist and a murderer. But his plan backfired badly. So let's see what he'd done, and that's in Mark chapter 15. We go over to Mark's record, and he adds a few little details for us. Mark chapter 15 and verse 6. And some of the story we just read, but let's see what we find out more. Now, at the feast, Pilate was accustomed to releasing one prisoner to them, whomever they requested. And there was one named Barabbas, who was chained with his fellow rebels, and they had committed murder in the rebellion. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to ask him to do just as he had always done for them. But Pilate answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priests had handed him over because of envy. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd so that he should rather release Barabbas to them. Now, it's possible, of course, that the two robbers who were crucified that day with Jesus were also part of the insurrection. Luke tells us that it took place in Jerusalem. So Barabbas and the two robbers were probably in the gang together. And there were, of course, groups in Palestine known as Zealots or the Sicarii. They were fanatical. They were violent. They hid daggers in their cloaks. And they were pledged to murder and political revolution. And we would call them today terrorists. So what happened to Barabbas? Just picture the scene. Use your imagination, as well as reading what we've just done. It was a Passover in Jerusalem, and so the whole city would have been crowded and very noisy. And it was packed with Jews from many countries. And within all this crowd, there was the criminal element that were mingling as well. And probably the people knew that. They would see the people, perhaps with the odd dagger, hidden and wondering what was going on. And Pilate had left his wonderful palace in the blue Mediterranean coastal port of Caesarea. And he'd come up to Jerusalem because he was under pressure from Rome to maintain law and order, particularly at this Passover weekend. And so it was that he and his men were stationed in this barracks in the fortress of Antonia. And that's where Barabbas was in prison, awaiting the death sentence. And we're reading about Pilate's final interview with Jesus that morning. And it was within half a mile of where Barabbas was. And the Jewish leaders would not go into Pilate's own residence in case they would be defiled for the Passover. That third cross was intended for Barabbas. It was his cross. His two friends and himself were going to be crucified that morning for what they had done. Barabbas could certainly hear from his dark dungeon prison cell that noisy, angry mob. And he's pacing up and down, and he hears the angry mob. He's wondering to himself, were his fellow terrorists rioting? Were they overthrowing the Roman guards and coming to his rescue? Verse 12. Pilate answered and said to the chief priests, again, "What then do you want me to do with him whom you call the King of the Jews?" So they cried out again, "Crucify him!" And Pilate said to them, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, "Crucify him!" And so Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and he delivered Jesus after he had scourged him to be crucified. So let's just reconsider this story and pull all that we know together. Barabbas, here's his name, over and over and over again. That's all he can hear, Barabbas. The crowd were shouting his name, Barabbas. And that's what he heard from his prison cell. He couldn't hear Pilate's lone voice asking all those questions. He heard nothing of that. His heart begins to pound. This is no rescue mission. This is a lynch mob. Worse, they were shouting for his crucifixion because all Barabbas heard was his name. Barabbas, crucify him. Barabbas, crucify him. That's all he heard. So he hears the measured tread, the slap of leather upon the mosaic pavement. Soldiers began to march down the stairway, approaching his cell, and one of them unlocks the cell door and swings wide the iron door. Barabbas, it's time to go. I've deleted something there. And Barabbas's heart sinks when he hears that. His body was a mass of nerves. And then he hears that phrase, "You're free to go." I had a picture of one of those cards you get in a Monopoly set. Get out of jail free card. If I'd have thought, I'd have even bought one. But that's what Barabbas was given. A get out of jail free card. He'd heard his name being called and shouted, "Crucify him." And here he is being given his get out of jail free card. Can you imagine his shock? He was fully expecting the soldiers to come and take him out to be crucified. And suddenly he finds himself a free man. He was supposed to die that morning in a couple of hours together with his two friends. That's the story. So what are we going to learn from that? It's on a hillside outside Jerusalem at a place of a skull. That's where Jesus took the place of Barabbas that morning. It should have been Barabbas up there on that cross with his two mates. Instead, it was Jesus. A son of a father missed his cross because another man, the son of the father, literally took his place. And we've seen just now that's how Jesus died. And so in exactly the same way, Jesus took our sins upon himself and died the death that we deserve, just as he died the death that Barabbas deserved that morning. And so in this way, Jesus was a representative of all of mankind, not just for Barabbas, not just for you and me, but he bore in his body the sin of the whole world. I wonder what happened to Barabbas after he was let out of jail. Have you ever thought about that? I wonder if he went up to the place of the skull, perhaps in the background, perhaps with a cloak about his head, I don't know, wanting to see who this man was that had taken his place. It was his cross. Did he somehow decide to follow Jesus and join what became known as the Way? We don't know. What we do know is what is shared for us in the rest of the New Testament. Just like to end with three little passages that I wonder if you'd join me with. It's 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And I think to bring our thoughts together, we're going to look at the words of Peter and the words of Paul. Verse 22. Jesus committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed. And then in Galatians chapter 2, you'll probably know these words very well. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Paul writes to you and me, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Because God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for you and me.